Hey, welcome to... Hello. And welcome to Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Vales, and with me as always is my good friend, Aaron Chase.
Hey, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron. How we doing today?
I'm excited.
Yeah?
Just because Stalker's done.
Stalker's
done. I'm past it.
It's behind us.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything quite like that to worry about for the rest of the list.
Well, that's good.
You'll probably hate other things.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
But that particular brand of filmmaking, not one of my personal favorites, so it doesn't show up too terribly often on my list. I think you're okay, at least for a good long while.
It's good.
All right. Well, as always, we're counting down my top 500 favorite films of all time. Not the best, just the ones I like. I like Stalker.
I know you do.
Strange, right?
Very strange.
But don't worry, I think this episode, you'll be a little bit more understanding.
Okay.
Although we did have Shrek and Inception, I think, on the last one, and those are understandable picks.
Yeah, I'm still blown away Inception's that low. But
It's a personal thing. It's good. It's a good movie. It's just, it disappointed me.
Understandable.
Well, we're starting this episode off on number 442. My 442nd favorite film of all time. Director Jean-Pierre Jeunet's 2001 film, Amelie.
Oh, I've heard of this.
I'm sure you have.
I don't know anything about it.
It's a pretty sweet film, actually. It's very warm and welcoming. It's about this woman named Amelie, and...
French. That's the French film. French, right?
The French. It is French.
Yeah. That's the only French film.
It is
the only one.
The
that matters.
Only French film.
The only one that matters. The Amelie. Yeah, I've heard of this. Okay, yeah.
There are other French films on my list.
Yeah,
but higher than this.
This is the only one that matters. Amelie.
Okay. Amelie. Actually, this is. I haven't seen all of Jean-Pierre Jeunet's films. There are a couple higher up on my list that I really like. I like this one, and it's probably his most famous. And it's sweet. It didn't connect with me the same way as a lot of people. But it's about this young woman. And it follows her as she just is trying to bring joy to all these different people's lives in Paris, I think. But it's colorful, and it's sweet, and it's a nice film.
It sounds whimsical.
It is very whimsical. That is the perfect word for it. It is one of the most whimsical films. When it came out, maybe 5-10 years afterwards, so many independent filmmakers were trying to
emulate
completely this, at least the look and feel of the film. It's very colorful and warm.
Is it whimsical in the way that the Peter Pan one with Johnny Depp, Finding Neverland, is it that type of whimsical?
It is much more whimsical.
Oh, that's
than
nice.
That. And it's not like it, like that one, you're drifting in and out of whimsy, mm-hmm. kind of. This one, like, it might get dramatic, it might get darker than other parts of the film, but it always stays in that sort of world.
Okay.
So it's not like drifting in and out like Finding Neverland. It is this very stylized version of France.
Okay.
It's sweet, it's colorful, it's nice, it's a good film. I don't think it's quite the masterpiece a lot of people make it out to be. Again, I like several of his other films quite a bit more. But Audrey Tautou's in it, and she's great. Dominique Pignon, I think is how you pronounce it, or something like that. He appears in a bunch of his films as well, and I really like him. He's a great character actor. But it's a nice film.
Yeah.
If you're up for subtitles, I think it's a good pick. It's a good film.
Okay. I'm not angry now.
Hey, see? Worst case scenario, you get... The only French film.
Cool with me. Cool with me.
Moving on, I suppose?
Yeah.
To my number 441st favorite film of all time. Very different film. The only Roland Emmerich film on my list.
Director, that name.
Roland Emmerich's 1994 film, Stargate.
I've heard of... Wait, who is... I know that name, Roland Emmerich. What does he do?
Probably most famous for Independence Day.
Oh, that fucking guy? Okay.
That guy. 1998, Godzilla.
Oh, that fucking guy?
2012.
Oh, that I don't want to watch this stupid movie. What is this?
This is Stargate.
What's so special about Stargate?
It's the only one I like.
Oh.
He also did The Patriot with Mel Gibson, Jason Isaacs, Heath Ledger. I thought that one was pretty good. It's a little... I got some problems with it. It's not in my top 500. But it's okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'll give him that. This one is really... It's stupid, but it's interesting. It spawned terribly popular show Stargate SG-1.
My mom watched that.
Yeah, loads of people did. And it had a bunch of spin-offs. I never got into it. I'd seen a couple of episodes because I liked the movie. But but it follows these people who discover in Egypt this thing that they don't understand. This like ring, and they think it's some kind of portal to the heavens or something. And they bring along, they hire this Egyptologist to come in and try to work out some of the kinks. People are translating the hieroglyphics. They're not getting as much headway as they'd like. The military has come in and sort of, like, overseeing it all. And they open a Stargate. And they're transported to...
I have no desire to watch this fucking movie.
James Spader, Kurt Russell.
Oh, cool.
They're cool.
Yep.
I like them.
I can't believe that right now I'm leaning towards a French film.
Me neither.
Yeah, I can't believe that. So what? I don't think I'm going to watch Stargate.
All right. Well, it's good. I like it. I think if you're in the mood for like just a kind of a dumb sci-fi action movie, there's a lot of cool set pieces. The planet they go to is like ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So these aliens were like pretending to be gods when they came to Earth, and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And a climax that just kind of gets my blood pumping every time I see it. I'm like, yeah! Well,
that's good.
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's fun. If you're in the mood for that kind of film, I check it out. It's a good time.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
My number 440th favorite film of all time, director Woody Allen's 1966 film, What's Up, Tiger Lily?
I've heard of this.
It's his first film.
Okay.
Feature debut. And it's kind of hard to call it his directorial debut. Because what he did was take an already produced, I think, Chinese James Bond, like espionage
rip-off right.
film, and just dubbed over it with his own
style.
His dialogue, own. Comedy.
So it's Chinese?
I believe it's Chinese.
So is Chinese people speaking like New York Jews?
Well, it's not him personally.
Oh, okay. I was just picturing.
No. I don't believe he does any of the voices.
Okay.
No, he there's a cast of actors who come in and do the voices. And it is somewhat problematic today. A couple things haven't aged terribly well, especially... Yeah,
he also raped his daughter or something, right?
Especially considering Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Is what I was about to say. But I think it's funny as all get out.
Is it supposed to be funny?
Yes. Oh, it's Woody Allen.
I don't know shit about Woody. I've never seen a Woody Allen film. Except for Midnight in Paris. The only Woody Allen film I've seen.
I like that one.
Yeah. That wasn't very funny from what I remember.
Did you watch it?
I don't remember anything about it. I know it was in the past, and then Owen Wilson is being Owen Wilson.
Okay. Well, it might show up on the list a little bit later. Maybe you'll have time to revisit it if you've seen everything else surrounding it.
Okay.
But it is funny. It's not as like outlandish as a lot of his comedies are. A lot of his comedies are very bombastic and big and funny. And it's sort of his later films drift into more dramedy territory. Although some of his work in the 70s, Annie Hall and Sisters and whatnot, were like that as well. But... this one is just very zany, very silly. The plot revolves around this spy trying to get back this, like, king's secret egg salad recipe. It's kind of absurd.
Yep.
And a lot of the comedy comes from the fact that the actors in the film are Asian, and...
the voices are clearly...
The voice... And it's hard to describe.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot
canceled,
of...
Are we getting canceled, Bryce? Are we getting canceled for this?
Oh, it has not aged well.
Okay.
But it's really funny. There are jokes in the film
yeah.
that I on a semi-regular basis make to myself. Oh, I just think about, like, ha! Okay, never mind. No, not because it's offensive, but because it's a visual thing, and right. People listening probably wouldn't get when I say, oh, my leg.
Oh,
it's good.
Hey,
yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Because they can do that kind of stuff. This person's obviously rubbing their head in pain, but they say, oh, my leg.
Jokes.
Right. It's silly, it's stupid, it's funny. There's a lot of good, like, they cut back to, like, Woody Allen, like, discussing the film that you're... It's weird. But I really like it. I haven't seen anything quite like it, and that's why it's on my list.
Okay. First off, I'm not watching Stargate.
You've made that abundantly clear.
Yeah, I know. Roland Emmerich does not have a good track record for me.
It's the only one of his on my list.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. This is the one I would recommend.
Wow. I gotta say, in my choices, I'm very lukewarm about both of these, mm-hmm. about Amelie and...
What's Up, Tiger Lily?
I'm curious about What's Up, I want to watch it purely for the it's out of touch quality to it. There's something funny about that and interesting.
Yeah.
But Amelie sounds like a genuinely nice film to watch, especially right now.
It's nice, yeah.
Yeah, a film that is going to allow me to feel positive.
Very much so.
Okay.
There's some bittersweet moments, but more sweet than bitter.
This is actually really hard. This is one of those ones where they sound like completely different.
Yeah, they're both comedies?
Okay.
But they're nothing alike.
So far, I'm leaning towards Amelie.
Okay.
And I ask, which one is longer?
Amelie.
Okay. That's not going to completely destroy my desire to watch.
Okay.
It's gonna.
I mean, hold on. Let me see how long Amelie is. I mean, just because I think it's a little longer, it doesn't mean it's long. I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, okay, I got through...
It's a little over 2 hours.
Oh, that's not that bad. No. Oh, Jesus, that's not that bad.
No, the other one's like an hour and a half. It's a short little thing, but this one, it's only a little over two.
I'm thinking, surprisingly enough, never thought I'd say that. I think I'm going to do Amelie because I know it's considered a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah.
I see that picture a lot.
The smiling girl.
Yeah. Fuckable. Bryce, I think I'm going to pick, surprisingly enough, the French film.
You just got over a Russian film. You need some
I know.
French cinema to cleanse your palate, I guess.
The Russians are very aggressive. And cold.
Would you call Stalker aggressive?
Aggressive in the sense that they're all broken down and mean and angry. The French are pussies. Therefore, they're going to be... This is a really not good episode. I'm so sorry, Bryce.
No, it's great. This is gold. Gold, Aaron, gold!
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, I'd like to watch Amelie.
All right, Aaron. I'm pleasantly surprised you picked it.
What did you expect me to pick? Stargate?
I honestly thought it could go any way. I thought Amelie was the long shot, though.
Really?
Yeah, well, because it's a French film.
Yeah.
And you just got done watching another international foreign language film, and you did not have a grand time with that. I don't think you've enjoyed any of the foreign films we've watched so far.
Have I not?
No.
Oh.
Which I think that will change. Maybe, hopefully with this one.
Yeah.
Certainly something down the line. There's a lot of good ones to come. Maybe this will turn you around on that a little bit.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Okay, Aaron, let's go watch director Jean-Pierre Jeunet's 2001 film, Amelie. So, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce.
Tell me about Amelie.
Amelie is a pretentious French film.
I won't disagree, actually, this time.
It's pretty pretentious. Not in a bad way, but pretentious French film where a young lady realizes that she very much enjoys helping people.
Mm-hmm.
Through helping people, she also helps herself, I believe is how I would describe it.
Sure.
And finds love.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, you get, you know.
It'd be very sad if she didn't.
Yeah, it'd be very sad. And that, honestly, that's how I would summarize Amelie. It's really that simple to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think to play off that a little bit more and maybe fine tune it, I'd say it's about her. You know, she enjoys helping people, but she learns to also
help
herself.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily helping other people helps herself, although she does enjoy it. She learns that it's not just about other people. She needs to make herself happy too.
Yes. The film, my feelings of it were like, oh, okay. That's really, like, I wasn't angry. I wasn't excited about it. I was just like, oh, yeah, this is a movie.
Yeah.
film was put to the screen.
Certainly. Quite a bit of film, actually.
Yes. At the beginning, the exposition of the beginning was so fast and so jarring that I think that I would have to rewatch it to fully take in everything. But it's weird. It was similar to Stalker in that it was pretentious and it was clearly like an artsy film. But this one didn't bother me as much because it didn't feel like it was... It didn't feel like it was taking itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're doing weird things, I can engage myself. I'm paying attention. It doesn't feel slow and drawn out. It feels like it was mildly meant to entertain me.
I would say yes. This is a film that Jean-Pierre Jeunet wanted to entertain.
Right.
It's a very... I think the word you used was whimsical.
Whimsical, yeah.
Which I think is very accurate. It's a very whimsical film. And... Yeah, it's a very fast-paced film at that.
Yeah.
Not just the exposition at the beginning, but just throughout the film. It's very quick. Things are always happening. Things are always moving forward, even if it's hard to follow.
Yeah.
At times. I'll admit that my first viewing, I was trying to keep up with it. Multiple viewings does help. Like, the second time you watch it, if you ever watch it again, I think you'll be able to follow it pretty easily.
Yeah. I think it was a beautiful looking film.
It had a very distinct style.
It's you know what? Just style. I think Stalker was a more beautiful film, but Amelie was stylized in a way that was more engaging.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, very dynamic camera moves and compositions, and the editing is fast and furious. And the color palette is just so saturated. It's so colorful. Everything's washed and there's a golden yellow. That I think I said it was aped by so many movies, especially independent filmmakers after its release. A lot of people were trying to make a film like Amelie.
Yeah.
At least stylistically. I think I did actually even make something for the Thespian Festival with Ashley.
I can see that. Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that.
Makes sense now?
It makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
I would say, if I were to go to positives and negatives, positives would be its stylization is what... That's generally something I'm not even a big fan of, but the way it was stylized made it engaging. I think if you took out its style, this would be an incredibly boring film. But because it has a distinct voice and visual concept, it's really engaging. I think that all the actors were great for what they were doing. I think that I can't speak on the writing because it was just so fast. But this is gonna sound like a negative, but it's not. Throughout the film, I was kind of checked out.
I know.
It was just taking in the imagery, and I could not tell you. I really couldn't tell you what happened. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm sure if I rewatched it, I would be like, oh, okay, all this is happening. But when watching it, I was just relaxed. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to let the French people be French in front of me. And there was something very relaxing about it. As fast-paced and as aggressive as it moves, I felt calm the whole time, which was nice.
Well, what did you think of... you commented that you liked the performances. What did you think of Audrey Tautou, Amelie?
She felt likably French. There's a beauty about her that is distinctly French. It's really hard to... She does not have an American beauty about her. There's something that is cute... and innocent and childlike, but also mature and caring. There's this big heart about her. Mm-hmm. She just comes off very sweet, very inviting. Like, you want to have coffee with her in the morning. You want to eat brunch with her. She just... I don't know the actress, but the character just felt so likable. Just easily relatable, likable, goofy and strange in her own way, but not in an obnoxious way.
A lot of films take quirky characters, yeah, especially quirky gals,
yeah, oh my God,
to an absurd place and make them unlikable.
Yeah.
Just with how quirky, weird they are. Mm-hmm. It gets outlandish. And this, I feel like this film just rides that line. She is quirky.
Yeah.
And she's strange, and she's definitely her own unique individual.
Yes.
But I buy into it.
Yeah.
She feels real enough, especially in this world where everyone's a little quirky. It just fits in really well.
The exposition helped that.
Yeah.
Explaining her mom and her dad. As soon as they were like, her dad's like this, and her mom's like this, here's how she is. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I accept all of that. Makes perfect sense. And, you know, they say show, don't tell, but the movie had a really good balance of literally telling you, but also because it was so stylized, it showed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I don't have a lot of negative things to say, but I don't also have a lot of any more positives. It just is what it is. And, yeah.
I fall into a similar boat as you. Mm-hmm. I don't really have much negative to say about the film. It's low on my list because it's just this really interesting one note.
Yeah.
All the way through, it gets a little darker, a little sadder for like a minute here and there, but then we get right back into this crazy, whimsical adventure she's going on, trying to find the guy who's taking the pictures from the photo booths, mm-hmm, and eventually she finds him. It's just this whole...
That's
like weird
thing.
It's almost a scavenger hunt that they play with each other.
That's a thing I wanted to acknowledge, is that character could have been real creepy.
Yeah.
Under the wrong hands, that could have been not okay. And the stylization, I think its strength is how stylized it is. Mm-hmm. That you can get away with so much weird, arguably creepy things. I would say that my favorite character is, I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who's recording everything.
Oh my God, the asshole?
Yeah, but there was something likable about that guy.
Yeah.
And there was something likable about the guy she was fucking with. All of the characters, even the ones that are supposed to be assholes, there's something about them where I'm like, where I think they set up Amelie and why she is the way she is. It sets it up in such a way where you're like, oh, all of these people must have backstories like that. We're just not seeing it.
And they do go into a few backstories of a few of the different secondary characters, their likes and dislikes, just the little
intricacies.
Yeah. Little isms,
yeah,
of them. And so, yeah, it does set up this world where everybody is their own individual with their own strange quirks and desires and pet peeves. You're right. Literally everybody is just almost equally as strange as her.
Yeah.
Just
in different ways.
Just in different ways. And this photo booth guy, I feel like, is her type of strange, though.
Yeah.
Where it's just such this unique, almost obsession he has. Yes. Collecting these torn up photo booth photos, and especially from this one guy. And she almost latches onto that same mystery of who's this guy. So I buy them together. Even though they spend so little time together,
mm-hmm,
by the end, when they do eventually end up together, I buy into it.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's like, well, okay, now they're together, I guess. Even though there's no... Like, they just met. But it works in this film.
They just mesh beautifully.
Yeah.
This is going to sound like an insult, but it's not. It's a movie I could very easily fall asleep to.
Oh, I understand that completely.
Yeah, like, there's something about it. Feels like a, like it can just rock you to sleep. Mm-hmm. Just watch images and go to sleep.
Kind of spend a little time in this world. And
yeah,
the
French language and the way they speak is just
beautiful.
Yeah, you know, in California, you hear Spanish a lot, and mm-hmm. you hear English, and for me, sign language. But I don't hear French a lot. And so when I'm listening to it, there's this sing-song, there's this flow about it that is... I can see why it's the language of love. It really is calming. I feel... I said this to you before. I'm going to take a nap after. I feel calm. I just feel relaxed.
Yeah.
I guess there's not much to say about it. I know I'm not speaking much on this episode. There's just not much to say about it other than what has been said for me. Mm-hmm. And...
Well, do you think its sort of place as being this big international, I don't want to say juggernaut, it's too aggressive, but this big international hit, like very popular film, Amelie, it's like a lot of people, even if they haven't seen the film, you've seen the picture of Amelie.
I've seen that fucking picture, yeah.
Do you think it deserves its sort of place in
no.
pop culture lexicon? No?
Well, all right. It's depending on the context of the time it came out and how it's influenced. So, and I don't know anything about pre-Amelie and post-Amelie and how it's affected things all that much. If I understand it correctly, please correct me if I'm wrong. There wasn't... Obviously, the French had their own style.
Oh,
and you can,
well, there's quite a few different... Yes.
Yes. You can feel that this is from France, but it seems like within... 2001, in its time, it was the first to do what it did in a modern way.
It was a very unique film, and right. how it was shot and how it was presented, and the whole like narration going into these like little minute details of people is very unique.
It reminded me of the pretentious version of Edgar Wright. Like I feel like Edgar Wright would really love this film and. Just kind of twisted his own British comedic style with something like this. Weird cuts, zooms, using visual storytelling, but with snappy, quick dialogue. Things are just happening.
That's an interesting observation. I hadn't considered that. Yeah, it actually is a little Edgar Wright-esque. Yeah. It's a little looser.
Yeah.
And it's a bit... Like, Edgar Wright is a very... kind of fun, like it's almost machine-like in his editing and cinematography, which is great. I love Edgar Wright. And this is a little bit more, it is looser. It's sort of, it's like if Edgar Wright was trying to emulate a sort of French new wave kind of mm-hmm. just very loose, handheld in the moment in the world kind of film. Interesting.
Yeah, I literally just thought of that. I realized that. But I would say it deserved what I think I'm missing the context of the time. Mm-hmm. So for its time, yes, it deserves. I think I've seen films like this post this. Mm-hmm. So it's diluted that a bit. But if I were to take myself out of that, I would say that it deserves a lot of respect. That it is not an amazing film to me. But it is, there's something about it that's very likable. Mm-hmm. Calming. Here's my recommendation.
Bryce. I was going to ask you, what is your recommendation?
My recommendation is watch it. Generally, just watch it.
Anybody listening.
Anybody listening, just give it a watch. Okay. I really think that. But if I were going to go through the specifics, if you're stressed out, watch this movie, because there's something about it that just, like, Yeah, that's really the reaction to it. I know that's not a glowing review, but it actually is a big compliment. There's something about this film that it just feels calm. And that's really the best way I can describe it. And I think that... comparing it to Stalker, because that's what's in my head right now.
Ooh, what a different
kind of film. I know. Stalker also is beautiful and slow, and not slow, but it's beautiful.
Well, it is slow.
It's very slow. It's beautiful and purposeful and artistic and all that stuff, but it gives you this sense of dread.
Yeah.
You don't feel good when you're watching Stalker. No. When you're watching Amelie, even though I wasn't even checked into what the fuck was happening, I felt like... Just go on this ride with Amelie, and it's fine. And that's really what I have to say about it. I would suggest watching it.
All right. Yeah. Well, hey, I'm a good palate cleanser then.
Yeah.
After last episode.
Yes.
There we go. We've already turned over a new leaf.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new day.
Mm-hmm.
New good films on the horizon.
I would agree.
Everything's turning up roses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, for watching Amelie with me. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Really, really glad.
Thank you.
Pleasantly surprised.
So am I.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting to like this movie.
Wasn't expecting you to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good pick, Aaron.
Thank you.
Good pick, and I'm excited for next time.
So am I.
Until then.
Until then, Brent.
This has been a Buddy System presentation of Film Favorites.